we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Pray that you're having a wonderful day. My name's Bob. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And so pray that your week is going well, or if not, I hope that you're praying and believing that God is going to turn that around so that it does not end up being a challenging week. God always leads his people in triumphal procession. Let me say that again. God, that's the word of God, by the way. That's not just a saying. God always leads his people in triumphal procession. And so I'm very thankful for that. So we're going back to Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. We do want to invite you out. I haven't mentioned this in a while, but want to invite you to our vintage service. We have a vintage service tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And, you know, last week I went a little bit beyond 12, not too awful bad, but just a little bit. And so if you like to sing some hymns and would like to come and be a part of our service, we would love to have you. And we do want to extend a special invitation to you for our vintage service next Wednesday, not just tomorrow. I mean, you're invited to come to that as well. But on February the 3rd, we have Rich and Tammy Stevens. They are Southern gospel singers. They write their own music. They are very, very gifted, very talented. They have a daughter that travels with them, but I don't believe she's going to be with them this time. I believe she's got another assignment that she is working on. And so we'd like to invite you to come. Listen, they will bless your heart. They are very, very, very gifted at what they do. And so we want to invite you to come out. It's absolutely free. We are going to take up a love offering for them. Plenty of seats that are available. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of what we've got going on February the 3rd, come and be a part of it. And address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We would love to see you there. So Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So in verse number 1, again, we talked about this yesterday. We're going to emphasize it today as a starting point, but this was a communication that Abram had with God. And here's the thing: God initiated the conversation. God initiated it. I'm telling you that when God speaks something to you, when it is something that he birthed, when he began the process, it is something that he is going to bring to completion. And so the reality is God has this intense desire for you and I to have fellowship with him. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." It was something he initiated. The creation of man was not an accident that happened. It was a plan that God initiated. Jesus coming to earth was not an accident. It was birthed in the heart of God. It was something that he began the process of. So I want to let you know that when God begins to speak, he is not going to lead you down the primrose path. He's not going to lead you to destruction. He is going to lead you to better things, not worse things. So I believe that the devil has done a tremendous sales job in convincing people that God is mean in his directive and stingy in his provision, and the exact opposite is true. God is good all the time, and his provision is always on time, and it is always abundant. That's the reality. And so he does say here, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. In order for us to grow in our relationship with God, there are going to have to be some things that we leave behind. I'm going to say that again. In order for us to get to the destination that God has for us, there are going to be some things that we have to leave behind. It says, get out of your country. In other words, it was a place where Abram, I keep wanting to mention him after God has changed his name. Abram was now identified with. It was his home. It was comfortable. And yet here God is summoning him and inviting him to a wonderful place. And, he says, in order for me to get you to the place I have for you, you are going to have to leave the place that you're now identified with. It's your country. Won't you come to my promised land? And so I want to ask you today, is there anything that God is inviting you to? And there's some things that you may listen. I had no concept, no clue that Melbourne, Florida ever existed. I had never been to Merritt Island, Florida. And then, you know, so when my wife and I got married, I took her to the beach for our honeymoon because, you know, I was from Oklahoma. She was from Chicago. And there was very little chance that we were going to be able to, you know, minister, you know, in places like that. And so we just said, okay, well, let's go someplace. And I should have taken her to see the pandas. I did correct that at our 25th anniversary, took her to see the pandas then. And, you know, but when, the company that I was working for transferred or offered me a job, They said, you know, we want you to go to Melbourne. And my first response was, Australia? You want me to go to Australia? I didn't even know we had stores in Australia. No, Melbourne, Florida. And so that meant that we were going to move away. Some of her family had moved to Texas to were living close to us. We were going to be moving farther away from my family. We were going to be moving farther away from her family. There were some things that we are going to have to leave behind in order to pursue. And when we began the journey, and by the way, my wife was fasting and praying during this time. God had spoken to her and told her to be fasting. And so she was fasting and praying, and every major move that we have ever had in our life had come during a time of prayer and fasting. We ended up taking a pay cut to come here, but it was what we felt like God had told us to do. But I will tell you this, before we left, our prayer was this: God, you're going to have to provide a place of ministry for us, because that is what you have called us to do. You have called us to serve. You have called us to pastor. And we're willing to go anywhere that you want us to go, but you've got to open up the doors. And so we showed up, not having a place to live. Didn't even really know where our belongings were at that particular point in time. But we knew that we were going to have to leave some things behind. The place that we were moving from was a large place, out in the middle of sticks. I mean, the boondocks called this place the boondocks. It just was not close. I mean, it's built up a little bit since then. It was about 25 or 30 miles to the closest grocery store. It was probably 10 miles to the closest gas station. So, I mean, you when you went to the grocery store, you really stocked up because you didn't have those 24-hour Walmarts and things like that. It said here, you're going to have to get out of your country from your family and from your father's house. So we had to leave some things behind because the place that we were moving to was much, much smaller. And guess what? We didn't thin out enough. And when we got here, we discovered that it rains a lot in Florida, and a lot of our stuff ended up not being able to survive the elements. Now, I talked to you about the things that he was going to have to leave behind. It says, but I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you, to a land that I will show you. And there is a challenge that comes with our thinking at times, and that is that we've got to know all of the details before we take that first step of obedience. But I want you to know that God wants us to develop such a relationship with him of love and trust that we know that his leadership is going to get us to the place where we should be, and it's going to be a land that he's going to show us. So I challenge people to allow God to develop in them a trust in God that is beyond their understanding. If my finite mind can understand everything there is to know about an infinite God, then there's a problem there someplace. And so let me talk to the parents just a minute. Parents, if you have ever gotten frustrated with your kids because they were asking a question and you would tell them they needed to do something and they would say, why? And it wasn't until you answered all their questions before they began to say whether or not they were going to comply and obey, then you would understand where God is in this process. Don't you trust me? Don't you trust me? And so several months ago, we had a ladies meeting at our church, and there was someone who didn't have childcare for their kids at that point in time. And so as a result of that, me and one of the other men from the church, we ended up watching the boys. And so he was praying and he said, Pastor, I think I have a plan for tomorrow night, and we're going to take them to Taco Bell, and then we're going to take them to play miniature golf. And so when the boys showed up, we said, okay, we're going to go on a journey. We'd told mom what we were going to do, but we hadn't told the boys. And the boys, well, where are we going? And we said, we're not telling you. This is a surprise journey. This is going to result in a destination that you don't have any idea about. And so, I want to go eat here and I want to go eat there and I want to go eat over here. And not one of the times did they mention the name of the restaurant that we ended up taking them to. But when we got to the restaurant, it was like, oh man, this is just the perfect spot. And then after they got done eating, we took them and they said, we want to go here. We want to go there. We want to do this over here. And instead we took them to a miniature golf course and they got to play miniature golf. And I want you to know, for months, they talked about every time they saw, Pastor, are you going to take us back here again? Pastor, we need to go over here and we need to do this again. Pastor, you know, that was just the greatest thing. That's just the greatest trip. And it was so exciting. And they didn't have any clue about it beforehand. And so many times whenever we are not informed of all of the details, we begin to speak negatively about the situation. And Jude, it says that they, you know, speak evil about things that they do not understand. And a lot of times, because we don't have all of the information, we don't have all of the facts, we open up our mouth and our carnal nature comes flying out and we start criticizing and complaining and murmuring. And all of the time, we've got this perfect God who loves us with a perfect love, who has a perfect plan for us. And he's sitting there and he's saying, you know, you really are clueless. If you will just journey this road with me, if you'll just let me lead you, everything is going to be okay. And so I want to challenge you to trust God to such an extent that even if you don't know all of the details, you know that everything is going to be okay. And so that's the reality. It's a land that he will show you. I will tell you this, that revelation from God is better than revelation from man. God says, I'm going to reveal it to you. I'm going to show it to you. When you get there, it will be worth it all. He says, Abram, you're 75 years old, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. The word nation, it literally means a group of people. I'm going to make you into a great group of people. And I want you to know today that you could be in a situation where the prospects of you becoming great are growing bleaker and bleaker. They are growing dimmer as the days go by. And if that's the reality, I want you to know that just because you're getting older does not mean that God's ability to fulfill his promises are any less than they ever have been. He is still just as skilled, just as qualified, just as resourced as ever before. He is able to do exactly what he said. Now, Abram's journey is, I'm just going to share this with you because I don't want you getting discouraged along the way. Abram's journey to greatness is something that God was going to make happen, not anything that Abram could help happen. Okay? Let me say that again. He said, I will make you a great nation. I cannot make myself great. You cannot make yourself great. But we can allow God to make us into what we've never been before. Abram was a husband, but he was not a father. And God says, I am going to make you into something that you cannot do for yourself. So he goes on and he says, I will bless you and make your name great. Therein begins the journey to greatness. See, God not only wants to make us into a great nation, but he caused a 75-year-old husband, he was going to transform him, and it's going to take another couple of decades plus for this to happen. He said, I'm going to make your name great. And he said, I will bless you and make your name great. God's ability to bless you and I, we need the blessing of God. Now, a little bit later, we're going to talk some about Abram's kids and the different conditions in their life. But I'm here to tell you that God is a God who wants to bless people. He wants to bless people. He wants to set people up for blessing and not for cursing. He wants to set them up for life and not death. He wants to set them up for success and not failure. God sets his people up to succeed. And he says, I am going to bless you and make your name great. One of the stories that I really like is Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, where she comes and she says, I'm going to come and I'm going to find out, because I've heard of the fame of Solomon. I've heard about his spectacular wisdom, and I'm going to go and find out find out about it all by myself. I'm going to go and I'm going to test him with hard questions. And that's what she did. And she said, Your fame is greater than that which I've heard. And so I pray today that you will know that God does have the ability to bless you and to cause your name to be great. The devil would like to think for you to think that you are insignificant, that you're a failure, and that you are never going to amount to anything. So allow God to utilize his ability to bless. The first blessing I will tell you is this, is to be in a relationship with God, a saved relationship with God. That is the first thing that you and I should, we need the blessing of God. We need a relationship with him. And so we'll discuss that a little bit more. But he goes on and he says, I'm going to bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So God is not interested in just blessing us. He says, I will bless you and make you a blessing. So today, I mean, it's Tuesday. What's your mindset at work? What is your mindset at work? Are you there with the mindset and of God saying, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing? When you get up this morning, I'm going to bless you. And when you get to work, I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless you at work so that when you go home, you can be a blessing. I'm going to bless you on your own so when you're at church, you can be a blessing. I'm going to bless you in church so that when you're in the community, you will be a blessing. You see, the people of God, we should be blessings to those around us. I will bless you and make you a blessing. There are far too many people that are in the bless me, bless me, bless me club, but they're not also in the blessing, blessing, blessing club. There are too many people who they're fine being on the receiving end, but they are horrible at the distribution end. And I'm here to tell you that you can only receive so much before you've got to start letting things pass through. You and I are, we're meant to be a blessing to those that God brings about. And so I pray that today that you will say, you know what? God is going to make me a blessing. You are to be a blessing to your whatever company you work for. You're meant to be a blessing to your boss. I pray that you would say, God, I need you to help me on this job to be better at this job than I've ever been before. I need you to bless me with skill and wisdom because I want to represent you well. Wouldn't it be phenomenal if our desire for blessing was so that God would make us a blessing so that people would see the favor and the hand of God? I'm telling you that when that happens, it's going to be phenomenal. Listen, we firmly believe that the reason that Merit Assembly of God has been blessed to the extent that it has been is because we are used by God to be a blessing to other people as well. And then he says this, and I will bless those who bless you. So God told him, he said, I am going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and you shall be a blessing. And then I'm going to bless those who bless you. And so he says, I'm going to even not only do this directly, but I am going to compel the blessings to come in from other people. And when they bless you, I am going to turn around and bless them. When they bless you, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to bless them. I'm going to use their natural blessings and I'm going to supernaturally bless them. You know what? I pray today that God will birth in you and birth in me an experiment, if you will. And that is, God, would you show me someone today that I can bless? You know, back a few weeks ago, I shared with you how God had used me to bless a stranger by helping her with her groceries. It was a lady about, well, she was probably retirement age. She looked like she was probably in her mid to late 70s. And I said, God, you know, just bless her. May she be blessed. Well, today, can you find somebody to bless? Maybe you don't have money to bless them with, but you could bless them with an encouragement. You know, I hear people all of the time who are, they can describe all of the ways that people have beat them down. You know, that you're not qualified for this, or you are too qualified for this, or you are not pretty enough for this. You're not smart enough to this. You're not fast enough. I hear that all of the time, that people are talking about the way that other people treat them. You know what? One of the blessings that you could give to somebody is say, you know what? You are very gifted in this area. God has certainly blessed you. You could bless somebody just with an encouraging word. My wife, the other day, she blessed somebody by, it was when rains were coming down really hard. She blessed somebody by walking them to their car with an umbrella so that they didn't get soaked. You know, it doesn't have to be huge. It can be just a little act of kindness that God can turn around and use to supernaturally bless. It also says this, I will curse him who curses you. And so I want to encourage you, don't be treating the children of God. Don't be treating the people that God has entered into relationship with. Don't be treating them bad, because it doesn't end well. You don't want to be speaking badly or treating people badly, because here's the thing. God is not going to command them to get vengeance on you. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And so if somebody has treated you badly, please do not carry that grudge around. Don't put it on a spiritual IV. Don't give it 24-hour nursing care. Let it go. Put it in the hands of God and say, God, would you heal my heart from this? And would you enable me to supernaturally forgive them? And God says, if anybody curses you, I'm going to curse him. And it says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now I'm going to tell you that the way that all of the families of the earth shall be blessed was this. Jesus came through the line of Abram. Abram became Abraham, and the father of many nations, and one of his descendants was Jesus. I'm here to tell you that Jesus was not just meant for your family. He's meant for every family, not just for my church, but for every church. And you and I, we need to be in the business of helping those that God wants to bless, every family on the face of the earth, to be blessed with a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The human right is to know Jesus. God bless you. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.